Welcome to today's podcast, Casting Down Idols. This is the podcast where we talk about addictions and recovery from a biblical point of view. I'm your host, Pastor Mike Dixon, and I'm addressing the problem of addictions from my own personal experience, but most importantly, from a biblical perspective. Whether it's drugs, alcohol, sex, shopping, gambling, or overeating, or whatever struggle you may be facing, I want you to know there's hope for change. It's my prayer that through this podcast, you'll pick up some tools and encouragement that will enable you to live addiction-free. I've been clean and sober now for 31 years, and you can too. So let's learn, grow, let's encourage one another on this road called recovery.
All right, welcome back, everyone. It's Pastor Mike Dixon, your host to the podcast, Casting Down Idols. I trust you're doing well and you're staying safe as we continue our way through this pandemic, COVID-19. I tell you, after this whole thing's over, there's some words or some phrases that I'll be fine throughout all of eternity if I never have to hear them again. I think you'll agree with me. How about COVID-19? I mean, I have heard COVID-19 so many times, man. I'll just be glad when I don't have to hear it anymore. Social distancing. Or how about this one? A new normal. You know, I listen to these experts on television and radio talking about we need to get back to a new normal. I'm telling you, I'm not looking for a new normal. Let me tell you what I'm looking for, who I'm looking for. I'm looking for Jesus Christ to come back at any moment. You know, as I study the Word of God and I look at things happening in our society today, I understand and I realize that Jesus Christ is getting ready to come back. The Bible foretells all these things that we're dealing with right now were going to happen in the last days. And so if you're not ready for Christ's return, my friend, I pray with all my heart that you'll get ready today. Don't wait one more day, one more moment, one more second. You need to get ready right now to stand before God. Well, in today's podcast, we're going to be dealing with the issue of anger. I know a few weeks ago, I did an episode on anger. Today, primarily, I'm going to be talking about anger and the inner man. I'm trying to follow along with our homework assignments for our life ministry program out of Edgecombe County and Pitt County. And so this is the lesson for this week. The life ministry meets every Tuesday night beginning at 6:30 at Oakdale Baptist Church in Rocky Mount, North Carolina. Every Tuesday night, it's open to men and women. It's a Christ-centered addiction recovery ministry. We always begin with a free meal at 6:30, time of praise and worship and group study together beginning at 7. And then we try to conclude each night by 8:45 or so with small groups as we pray and encourage one another. So if you're anywhere close to the Rocky Mount area, I would encourage you to come check out the Life Program on Tuesday nights, and it's free of charge. It doesn't cost you anything, and so you have nothing to lose and everything to gain. We're in the process of starting a Life chapter in the Pitt County area, primarily in the Winterville, Greenville area. Soon, we're praying about that, seeking opportunities. God's beginning to open some doors. And I want to also encourage you to continue to give us positive feedback, if you would. On whatever host that you listen to this podcast on, if it's iTunes, you can leave us 5 stars. You can leave us a positive review. And whatever host that you're listening to the podcast, please help us out there, if you would. Also, share it. Let your friends know, your coworkers know, your family members know about this podcast. If it's a blessing to you, I feel sure it's going to be a blessing to somebody else. So you help us do that. Anger and the inner man. A few weeks ago when I did an episode on anger, I noted in that episode that anger is really a choice that we make. And so many times I've counseled men and women over the years who had anger issues, rage issues, and they got into a place in expressing their anger that it seemed to be an automatic response that they would have to something that happened in their life. It's almost like they didn't even think about it. They would just automatically respond in a wrong way. And that automatic response is a habit that they had gotten into as far as the habit in which they express the emotion of anger. Just like you can get into a bad habit, you can break bad habit. You can develop good habit. Anger, if you listen to that previous episode, I gave you a definition for anger. And this is my definition for anger, simply put. It's an emotional response to a perceived threat. I'll say that again. It's an emotional response to a perceived threat. We certainly understand that anger is an emotion and you're responding to something. And what you're responding to is you feel threatened in some way. I mean, you feel like your reputation is threatened. You feel like maybe your life is threatened. You feel like your plans are threatened. You know, a lot of people break out in ungodly anger when their plans are threatened, when something happens that they didn't foresee coming, and it makes them late for an appointment, or it just rearranges their schedule altogether. Now, remember our definition for anger: an emotional response to a perceived threat. Whether that threat is actually true or not, if you perceive it to be true, it's going to affect how you respond and how you think. Whatever you think to be true, you're going to receive it to be true, whether it's true or not. I hope that that makes sense. You know, Jesus said in John 8:32 that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And so if the truth sets you free, a lie is going to put you in bondage. And so if you're going through life and you're believing a lie to be true, it's not going to lead to freedom for you, but it's going to lead to bondage for you. And so the root of the anger issue is the inner man. We've got to get to the inner man. What am I thinking about right now that's causing me to well up with this emotional response? What is it? Which direction do I feel like I'm being threatened in? What's going on in my thought process? What's going on in my very heart of hearts that's causing me to want to well up and respond in anger? And so anger is a choice that I make. Now, I may have gotten in the habit of responding a certain way and making a certain choice, and so it seems like it's an automatic response that I have in the way that I express anger, but it's a choice that I'm making. And just like I've made wrong choices before in the past, I can begin to make different choices. I can begin to make good choices. I can begin to make godly choices right now. Anger and the inner man. Anger is an issue of the heart. Our actions, our words, our behavior doesn't just come out of nowhere. I mean, it's coming from somewhere. And that somewhere is within you, the heart of mankind. You know, oftentimes the Bible refers to the heart of man. In fact, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, if you confess Jesus as Lord with your mouth and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. If you believe in your heart. Now, we know we don't think in our heart. We don't believe in our heart. You know, when you think about that organ in your body known as the heart, that organ is pumping blood to the rest of your body. But when the Bible uses the term heart, it's including your inner man, which includes your thought processes, the way you think about things, the way you process truth in life, your main motivation for doing what you're doing and living the way that you're living, all that's in your heart. Whatever it is that you hold important, your values, things that you worship, things that you love in life, your priorities, all those things are held in your heart, and that's who you are. Anger is an issue of the heart. It has a lot to do with the way that we're thinking about things, the way we're processing things in our minds. And so when you think about anger and the inner man, I want you to think about the way that you think about things. So think about what you're thinking about. And when you feel like that emotion of anger is welling up in you, you need to learn to stop it and just focus, get still, get quiet, like the psalmist says in Psalm 46, and really evaluate what you're thinking and where your heart is centered right there at that point in time. What is the threat that you feel is threatening you? See, most of the time when we're dealing with ungodly anger, and that's really the anger that we struggle with, and that's usually the anger that we have as fallen creatures, that anger is self-centered. I'm not focused on God. And so when I begin to feel that emotion of anger, I've got to ask myself, what am I thinking about right now? What do I feel like is being threatened here? And usually it all comes back to me instead of being centered on God. And so I need to shift. I need to change my perspective. There were occasions, as recorded in the Bible, that Jesus actually got angry. But Jesus' anger was not the type of anger that we struggle with. Jesus' anger was always righteous anger. I thought about the way that Jesus spoke to the religious leaders of his day. I mean, he was just fed up with their hypocrisy and the way that they just put these heavy rules and regulations on the people, teaching the people that's how they're made right with God, is in by keeping their rules and their regulations. Listen to what the Lord said to them. It's recorded in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. And see if you can sense some anger in the voice, in the words that Jesus spoke. You're going to have to use your sanctified imagination in order to pick up the tone. But the Bible says in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, Jesus talking to the religious leaders, he says, "You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things, and an evil man, out of the evil treasure, brings forth evil things." Jesus said that out of the abundance of the heart, H-E-A-R-T, out of the abundance of the heart, comes these evil things. Out of the abundance of the heart comes the words that the lips and the mouth and the tongue begins to form. It comes from the heart. And so we got to make sure that we're right on the inside. You know, a lot of times people say things they shouldn't have said, and they'll say something like this right after they say it. They say, oops, that slipped. That didn't slip, my friend. That came from a heart that's not right. That came from a heart that's not in right fellowship with God if what's coming out of your mouth doesn't line up with what will bring honor and glory to God. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man, that's talking about a man or a woman that's in right fellowship with God. Somebody that's living a vibrant Christian life, following the Lord Jesus Christ, applying the truth of God to their lives. A good man, because his heart is right, out of his mouth proceeds good things. That comes from a heart that's right with God. King David, after his gross sin concerning Bathsheba, even going out and plotting the death of Uriah, Bathsheba's husband, he cried out to God. It's in Psalm 51, verse 10. He said, create in me a clean heart, O God. My friend, listen, that's what we need. We need a clean heart. We don't need another social program. We don't need another check from the government. We don't need some politician to bail us out. My salvation doesn't come from politics. My salvation doesn't come from the White House. My salvation doesn't come from some kind of man-made program or plan or anything or any resource that the world offers me. My salvation comes from God. And the greatest thing that I need is the greatest thing that you need, and that is a clean heart. And just like David cried out in Psalm 51 and verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. You know, David understood that God was the only one who could give him what he really needed. My friend, have you come to that realization? Have you come to that realization that God is the only one who can give you what you need? I'm asking you a question. You know, when I think about recovery from addiction, I think about all the wonderful things we have today to help us, like detoxes and clinical rehabs and residential programs and all these 12-step programs that we've got going on, AA and NA and all these other programs that we have as well. And I'm thankful and I praise God for the MAP programs, the medically assisted treatment programs that we have, all these things that are helping people overcome addiction. But I'm going to tell you, your answer is not going to come from those things. It's not going to come from any kind of treatment program. It's not going to come by being in a detox somewhere or rehab somewhere, unless that's the environment that God uses to draw you to Him and total surrender to Him. I tell you, at 28 years old, when I surrendered to God, there's many times I tried to quit my destructive lifestyle that I was living in drug addiction and alcoholism. It was not until I got to that point at 28 years old of brokenness and I took my hands off of my life and I said, Lord God, I've got a heart problem. I have got a problem I cannot solve. Only you can give me what I need. Lord God, create in me a clean heart. Break the chains that hold me captive. And let me tell you, my friend, that was a life-changing moment for me. It was not the end, but it was just the beginning of walking by faith one day at a time, resisting the tempter, trusting God, staying in His Word, and being victorious. My friend, you can too. You know, a lot of times, anger is a big deal when we're talking about overcoming addictions, because an addict or an alcoholic is not in the best mood when they're trying to overcome their past addiction. It's not a pleasant experience to go through withdrawals. It's not a pleasant experience to go dry after you've been a drunk for so long. I mean, there's going to be things that your body's going to start crying out. You're going to have the DTs. You're going to have the sweats. You're going to have a messed up stomach. I mean, you may have a host of symptoms going on. And so a man or a woman who's trying to break free from substance abuse disorders, addictions, is not going to be in the best mood. It's going to be real easy to fly off the handle and be angry if you're at that place. And also, changing your life, putting a trust in God, trusting Him, walking by faith, you know, those first steps are going to be the most difficult. It's a lot like a little baby learning to walk. You know, those first few steps are the hardest. But you begin to take those steps and you begin to learn to walk and you begin to get the past behind you. And then you got family members and friends that are around you that still don't trust you. You know, that can cause you to be angry. You know, you can think in yourself, you know, I don't deserve this. Can't you see I've changed? When will you believe me? When will you trust me again? You know, all those things. And we can respond in anger. But what we got to remember is we're the ones based on our history, that really is causing these loved ones not to trust us and not to fully put their assurance in us at this point in time. And so dealing with anger is something, man, that is very practical when we talk about overcoming addictions. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, it says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, that you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts after or against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath. I want you to listen to that, underline that, mark that in your Bible. He goes on, he says, outbursts of wrath or anger. Then he goes on in that passage and he talks about murders and drunkenness and all these kind of things, all these words that are used. In the midst of all this, we've got the word outburst of wrath or anger. You know, it's clear from this scripture that anger is something that can quench the Holy Spirit of God in our lives. Anger is something that can draw us out of the will of God. Anger is something that comes from the heart that's self-focused. I'm talking about ungodly anger now, which is most of the time our problem. It comes from a heart that's not God-focused. But it comes from a heart that's focused on ourselves. A perceived threat, an emotional response to a perceived threat. Now, all this unrighteous anger is always destructive. It always brings harm. Anger in the inner man. You know, when I think about anger and I think about the ways that people respond in anger, ungodly anger, that basically there's two ways that people can be described. First person can be described as a volcano. I mean, that's the guy that just busts out in a rage, man. I mean, he just erupts like a volcano. Anybody or anything that's in front of him knows he's angry because he's hollering. And maybe he's cussing. Maybe he's hitting the wall. Maybe he's kicking the dog. I mean, it's destructive, and it wants to destroy anything that's in their path in that type of anger. But then there's the other extreme. And that's the person that holds back those emotions within themselves. They just think, you know, if I can just hold it in, then it'll be all right. If I can just hold it in, then I'm controlling it and everything will be good. Well, let me tell you, that's ungodly anger too. It's not just enough to hold it back, but you got to deal with it before it becomes a problem outside of you and even inside of you. See, those kind of people that are just holding it in, they're like a pressure cooker. And they're doing all kinds of crazy things to their body. I mean, their blood pressure is going up. Their heart rate is increasing. They're doing all kinds of negative things to their body. And so that type of anger is also destructive. It's destroying them. Well, my friend, there is another way. There is another way that you can express anger. Instead of destroying yourself or anything or anyone that's around you, you can redirect that energy of anger towards solving the problem. That's how you respond to anger in a godly way. But let me kind of get to the root of this whole thing right here. What I'm really trying to say in this episode is that you make a choice. You choose in your heart and the way you're thinking about things what you're going to become angry about. And then once that emotion wells up within you, you also make choices on what you're going to do with this emotional response. Get to the root of it. Anger and the inner man. Anger and what you're thinking about things and how you're thinking about things. I mean, a lot of times in our anger, we're thinking thoughts like, I don't deserve this. Well, let me pause right there and ask you, what do you deserve? My friend, we don't want justice. We want mercy. We want grace. We don't want God to give us what we deserve. And we certainly ought not to be giving other people what they deserve. There needs to be grace and mercy. But a lot of times when we're self-centered and anger begins to well up within us, we're thinking, I don't deserve this. Or we're thinking thoughts like, my time is valuable. Or how about this one? I deserve to be happy. I don't know how many times I've heard people say that. I deserve to be happy. Well, show me that in the Bible, where the Bible says that you deserve to be happy. The Bible tells me when I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I gave up my rights. It's not about my rights anymore. It's not about my happiness anymore. It's more about my holiness now. I've got to think about what I'm thinking about. My opinions are better than anybody else's opinions. Have you ever known anybody like that who kind of lived like that, had that kind of attitude that their opinion is the only opinion that mattered? When we're thinking thoughts like this that are self-centered, we are setting ourselves up to have to deal with ungodly anger. Sometimes I've heard people say something like this, I'm the way I am, I can't change. You know what we ought to do? We ought to take the truth of the Word of God. Again, Jesus said in John 8:32, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. And I need to lay alongside the truth of God what I'm believing in my mind, in my inner man. And if what I'm believing in my inner man doesn't line up with what God says in the Word, I need to change my thinking. Because let me tell you something, God's Word's not going to change. His Word is always faithful. His Word is always truth. His Word always leads to freedom. And so when you get angry, you need to think about what you're thinking about. What's going on in the inner man? What are you thinking right now? What are you telling yourself right now? You know, are you thinking thoughts about, well, you know, I can speak my mind because what I have to say needs to be heard? Are you thinking stuff like, I deserve the best in life? I mean, I've got this coming to me. You know, what is it that you're thinking? Where's your mind? Where's your heart? You know, our bullseye, our motivation in living ought not to be ourselves. We ought not to be focused on ourselves. We need to be focused on bringing honor and glory to God. Forgiveness is the key to overcoming anger. Now I want to show you from the Word of God how that's true, how forgiveness is the key to overcoming anger. In Ephesians chapter 4, there's a change passage that I have referred to so many times in the counseling room. You know, the goal in counseling is always going to be to promote some kind of change. In secular counseling, usually the change that wants to be promoted is whatever's not making you happy. What can we change to make you happy? Well, in biblical counseling, what we want to look for is we want to promote godly change. So anything that's ungodly in a person's life, we want to help that person realize that's the area that needs to change. We need to renew our mind with what God says, and then we need to begin to apply the truth of God to our lives, which leads to transformation. The Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes in Ephesians chapter 4, what I often refer to as the change passage in the New Testament, and he writes in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 22, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. This, my friends, is the change process. This is the change passage. And what I mean by that is Paul says you need to put off some things and you need to put on some things. And right in the middle of that change process is that verse that says, be renewed in the spirit of your minds. We've got to renew our mind with what God says. We've got to think about what we're thinking about. Now, I said forgiveness is the key to overcoming anger, because in the context of Ephesians chapter 4. In fact, it's the very last verse in this chapter. He addresses anger. And he says in verse 32, just a few verses later, after that, those verses I just read in 22, 23, and 24, down in verse 32, he says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. So this change passage about putting off and putting on and renewing our mind is going to be the key to overcoming anger. This is how you deal with it. This is how you deal with the inner man, where that anger is originating, where that anger is coming from. You've got to get to the root of it in the way that you're thinking about things. Put off the old thoughts. Put off the old man. Put off the person you were before you came to Christ. Put off those old ways of thinking about things and begin to renew your mind according to what God says and apply that. Believe the truth instead of believing a lie. Forgiveness is the key. That passage right there is the change passage, and he talks about putting off the things of the old man and putting on the things of the new man. A lot like changing clothes, you know, if you're out working in the yard and you got these clothes on that gets all soiled and all dirty and all sweaty, and maybe you're getting ready to go out to eat with your friend or what have you, and you come in, and you're not just going to change clothes, but you're also going to take a bath, hopefully, in between the process. You're going to take off the old clothes, you're going to take a shower, and you're going to put on the new clothes. Well, spiritually thinking, when we think about the inner man, we think about this issue of anger. I've got to put off the things of the old man. Those were the filthy rags. That's who I was before I came to Christ. Then I need a spiritual shower, and that's renewing my mind with what God says in the Word. And that's what Paul says in Ephesians 4, verse 23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And so that's a spiritual bath. I need to renew my thinking with what God says, and then I'm to put on the new man. So that's the clean change of clothes. That's what God says. And so there's a putting off and there's a putting on. Here's an assignment for you. Later on, I want you to get still. I want you to get quiet. I want you to get your piece of paper out. I want you to draw a line from the top to the bottom. So you've got two columns. On the left-hand column up near the top, I want you to put off. And then on the right-hand column on that same sheet of paper, I want you to put on. Now in the middle, right on the line, about halfway down, I want you to write these words, renew my mind. That's what God says. That's what the Bible says. So renew my mind. In that left-hand corner, right under that heading, put off, I want you to begin to think about things, people, places, activities, behavior that you need to put off in your life. Just begin to list them. Things that need to be no longer be part of your life as a born-again Christian, those things go there. Put off those things. And then as you look at that list, I want you to ask yourself, what does God say ought to be in my life instead of all these things that I need to be put off? For example, lying, that would be something that I put in the first column, put off. I need to stop lying. I need to stop telling untruths. So lying, what does the Bible say about that? The Bible says speak the truth to every man. And so that's renewing my mind. And then on that next column on the right-hand side of the page, what should I put on? So I put off the lying. God's word tells me I renew my mind. I need to speak the truth to every man. And so in that right-hand column, I need to put on truth. You see, I need to do that with every one of those. And so work your way through that assignment. Things that you need to put off. It could be things that you say, things that you do, places that you go, people that you hang around with. What are those things that you need to put off? And then ask yourself, what does God say ought to be in the place of all these things that I need to put off? What do I need to put on according to God? You know, the Christian life is all about change. It's about transformation. You need revelation. That's the Word of God. That's the Bible. Renew your mind with revelation. Then you need to ask God to give you illumination. That's so you can open up the Word of God and understand it. You can receive it in your heart. And so you've got the revelation of God. You ask God to give you illumination. And then once you've got the illumination, you can have transformation because you'll never be the same again. My friend, anger can be overcome. You don't have to let it overcome you. You don't have to allow ungodly anger to destroy your relationships. You don't have to allow ungodly anger to cause you in a rage to go back into use, to go back into drink, to go back into the old life that God, by His grace, has begun to set you free from. But you've got to get to the root of the problem. That's the inner man. Think about what you're thinking about. If you've gotten the habit of just expressing anger in ungodly ways, you need to go to God. You need to repent of that sin before God. You need to come up with a plan for change. You need to ask God to give you wisdom to understand what you need to do. When you first begin to feel that emotion of anger, whatever it is you need to do, hold your breath, count to 10, break away, get still, get quiet, pray to God. Whatever it is that you got to do, get you a stress ball that you're going to squeeze instead of responding in anger, and take a minute to think about what you're getting ready to do and why. And if the inner man is centered on you, my friend, you're centered on the wrong one. Get your focus on God. It's not about me. It's not about my plans. It's not about what I deserve. It's not about my happiness. It's about me living my life in the power of the Holy Spirit to bring honor and glory to God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you know us better than we know ourselves. You know how we struggle with this emotional response known as anger. Lord, you know how it can lead us to hurt people that we care about. You know how it can damage us, Lord, cause us to have heart attacks and strokes and all these physical things. But Lord, it can cause us to relapse. It can cause us to go back into sin. It can cause us to want to feel like, what's the use? I give up. Nobody cares. Poor old me. And just have one big old pity party that the enemy will use to drag us back into that self-destructive lifestyle that we used to live. Right now, I want to claim the victory under the shed blood of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, under the empty tomb where He rose again victorious over death, hell, and grave, offering us that same power that we need to be forever changed. Lord God, give us a clean heart. Give us a clean mind. Help us to renew our thinking to get in line with your truth. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I hope this podcast, this episode today has been a blessing to you. Again, I want you to share it with those around you. Pray for Pastor Mike. I'll be praying for you again. If I can help you in some way, drop me an email. MikeLifeAddictionRecovery@gmail.com. It's going to be posted on the host here under the description for this episode. I'd love to hear from you. If I can pray for you, if I can help you in some way, God bless you. You pray for me. I'll be praying for you. Until next time, continue your walk with the Lord. Keep your focus on Him on this road called recovery.